Thanks so much for listening here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Happy to welcome a couple of new guests to the show. One, Wisconsin Public Radio Director Mike Crane. Hi, Mike.
Good to be here.
Yeah, great to have you here. He's been doing Mondays with Mike for quite a while now, but not ever, in this time frame.
No, so usually I get to see you during the pledge drive.
Yeah, that's when we're usually together. So it's great to have him with us. And with Mike today, Keely Baltina.
Hi, Larry.
Hi, Keely. She's the new host on WPR, so we'll talk with her about her new position. And Mike, we'll talk with him about upcoming listener events, some staff events, and special programming. And, of course, he'll take your questions and comments about Wisconsin Public Radio. So I hope you will join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. So this Monday's with Mike. Mike, talk a little about the reasoning behind it, and do you like it?
Yeah, I love coming on the radio just generally. It's fun, but the Monday's with Mike idea is an opportunity for listeners and me or Mike Arnold, the other Mike that will sometimes appear on them, to talk about programs and things coming up. And it just really does help for us to always learn from you as listeners what it is you're interested in, what you're puzzled by, what you'd like us to change or keep the same. It's just really fun. And then sometimes there's an opportunity to introduce a colleague who's in a new role or something like that, and it's a lot of fun.
Keely, what about this? You're kind of a new voice on WPR here. Congratulations on the position. Talk about what you'll be doing.
Thank you. I'm going to fill in across the board. So here on the Ideas Network with the morning show, the Larry Mueller Show and Central Time, and also on the other network, the NPR News and Classical Network with All Things Considered and Morning Edition. It's a great combination of some of the things I love. I've really developed a connection with the talk conversations here at Wisconsin Public Radio. And I also started out in news, cut my teeth as a reporter, and that was really what drove me to what I do now. So it's a great combination. It's kind of this unicorn position that I'm really excited about because I don't have to choose, right? I get to do all of the things that I like.
And it has rainbows with it, too, I'm sure.
Oh, good. Excellent. Sounds good.
Well, so your background was news. Where are you from?
I grew up in South Dakota. And then we moved to Wisconsin a few years ago. And so I've been with Wisconsin Public Radio ever since. A lot of my focus has been on the morning show. I was hired as a producer there, and I've been executive producer for the morning show. So I have a keen understanding of what it's like to get up early and very comfortable with that these days. And I understand how important it is that we open the lines and talk with our listeners. You know, you and Mike were just talking about this, and it's like they push the conversations forward on in our talk discussions. They have questions that, you know, we have a room full of people working on the show. We've never ever thought about, or they call us and give us a quick tip about something that turns into an entire hour of discussion about something that really affects people in Wisconsin. So there's real power in that connection to our audience.
Yeah. What are some of the challenges? I can envision quite a few challenges to the kind of job that you've got.
So change happens so fast, right? This is one of the biggest challenges I think we could apply to anybody's roles, but especially moving around and talking with different audiences in different ways at different time slots is a natural challenge of the position. Our advantage in public radio, I think, is that we have this idea that it's more important to get it right than to be first. And that helps us. I think that helps me in this host position, too, knowing that things will change and we don't have to panic. We can take it slow. We can understand what's really important and really make sure that we're providing the right information to our audience instead of just putting something out there because we feel like it's what people are talking about.
Yeah.
I see that as a challenge here across the board.
I also, having many years ago been a Morning Edition local host at another station, recognize that moving among all of those shows on both networks creates a kind of a tiny but real practical challenge, which is okay, when exactly is my break? Is it 9 minutes after the hour?
What am I doing today?
Yeah. What makes that easier, of course, is there just is an incredible backup crew that goes with every show that makes sure you stay on track on those particular points.
Oh, absolutely. It is a complete team effort. What you hear on the radio involves so many people doing such good work. It is not one person by any means.
It would be the nature of the programs is a little different, mm-hmm. too. Is that a challenge or not?
I think so, because you can't have the same tone. You can't talk with listeners in the same way if you're talking about what's happening in the state capitol, or if you're trying to be sensitive about mental health issues, and then switch to a discussion about food or a conversation about mm-hmm. wildlife. And I think we see that on the different programs across the Ideas Network. We have to switch, within the programs, whether it's a short conversation or an hour-long conversation. The next topic may be very different. And I think that it may take a little bit of time, but I'm confident that I'll make a connection with, the audience that we're hearing from right now versus mm-hmm. the people who show up for us in the morning or afternoon drive.
What time do you have to get up to do that morning show?
It depends. if we aren't in the building at least by 5 o'clock, there's a problem. If you don't see a colleague by five, you're sending messages and we're updating things right away. And there are times that, we try to prep the day before, but it's 7, 8, 9 o'clock and something's happening and there's a producer jumping in the script to make sure that we're bringing people the right information right away in the morning.
Sure.
It's the same thing that you do during the morning or that our Central Time producers are flexing throughout the day ahead of 3 o'clock, being ready and having the latest right information.
I think that that's actually a change we've seen with the Ideas Network over time, is that when news moved more slowly, we could take a day or two maybe to get to something. Often now, with the news cycle, as they call it, being as fast as it is, our team has to figure something out very quickly. And so we might not be first, as Keely mentioned, but we're going to try to be right there on top of it as fast as we can.
Mm-hmm.
Max in Madison has a question. Hi, Max. Thanks for calling.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. So a longtime listener, longtime supporter, and I don't remember ever getting like any kind of survey or anything. There's a, not to get into specifics, but there's a host that I haven't been, not a huge fan of. Mm-hmm. And then multiple friends and family that kind of agree with the sentiment. So I don't remember ever getting kind of any survey. How do you guys like rate, monitor, review the quality, the likability of the job that a specific host is doing?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Max. I'm interested that you haven't gotten a survey, because we do pretty regular member surveys, but it could be that the random aspect of that or your spam filter or something kept you out of that. So I'm really glad you're calling and being in touch with us. We don't have anything as formal as the way they rank Hollywood stars. What is it, the Q rating or something like that? But we always do look at the Nielsen ratings, and we want to see how a show is doing from that front. Typically, that has a pretty slow process, because for years we were working with the Arbitron and now Nielsen diaries, and you'd find out things about how people were listening months later. We have it a little bit faster now, because in the Milwaukee area, we can see the weekly and even the daily listening and what's going on. Even that, though, is just a who's tuning in, really. It doesn't tell you if someone's likable or not. And likability is a tough one. I think what's underlying what you're saying, Max, is that people on the radio either become our friends or not. Mm-hmm. One of the sort of rules of thumb that radio program directors use is that, and it relates to the ratings in a way, a bad host will send people away much faster than a good host will bring them in. And so when you have a new host that you think is good, you're going to watch that for a while and see if they're making friends, essentially. And that's kind of how we do it. It's not a science by any means.
permission to take my host hat off and put the EP one back on.
Go for it.
The other thing I'd say is that as a team, we talk about the shows. We figure out what worked and what didn't, and that can extend to how the host handled a certain guest or callers who may have been critical or who have been really excited about something. And so internally, I think the staff at WPR does a good job of helping hosts to understand what's really working and where we can improve. And so I hope that on the other side of this, as I'm doing more hosting, that I get that kind of feedback, because Larry, hosts want that kind of feedback.
Oh, yeah,
we want to know what's working and what's not.
Yeah, absolutely. And Max, I can recall in my own situation somebody sending an email and saying, you know, you do this certain thing
like a habit you had or something.
Yeah, a habit. And I thought to myself, no, I don't. Well, then the next day I'm on the air again and I'm, oh, I do have that habit. So I actually worked on that, and I think I got rid of it. And I don't even want to bring it up because then I'll start using it again.
Right, that's right. But hosts are people. At the end of the day, our guests are people, our hosts are people, and we're going to have those little things that make us different.
Well, one thing we hear about a lot in these kinds of segments is that people are using a lot of sort of little connector words, the ums and ahs of the world, and that can be very frustrating because when you're listening, you want someone to be presenting really well. On the other hand, especially when we're making things happen on the fly, pausing is hard for radio people. That silence just bothers us like I did right then.
All twitching.
And so that's right. So we tend to use connector words like that, perhaps more than necessary, but it is a part of trying to figure out how to be live all the time.
So don't be afraid, Max, to send a note.
Yeah,
always nice to send a nice note. I mean, be nice in your comments, but make those comments. Make
absolutely
your point.
Kind critique. Kind critique works.
Make your point. Josh in Casco, hi.
Hello. Hello. I got proposed evening changes and then some new programming ideas.
Sure.
I would suggest we go Central Time to 2 hours and then put 5 o'clock the PBS News Hour, 6 o'clock Q, 7 o'clock As It Happens, Canada program. And then 8 o'clock, I like to put The World. It's hosted by Michael Weishman, WGBH Boston Radio carries that. And for new programming ideas, return month-long editions of Jobline, and please bring back Courts and Courts from the CBC Radio, please. Thank you.
All right. Well, we've got a lot there.
Yeah,
and
a world of suggestions, so to speak, yeah. So I'm particularly interested in the thought about PBS NewsHour because there are a couple of public radio stations who carry that on the radio. It's not that we couldn't, but one observation in listening to it not long ago in Washington, D.C., was that parts of the show, believe it or not, even though it's talking heads, aren't really very well designed for radio, and so that might be the kind of hesitancy. But I really love hearing the ideas. Thank you, Josh.
Thanks, Josh. And you can join in, too, at 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Keely Boltina, one of our guests. Keely, are you off now?
I am. You guys will just carry it all the way through, Larry.
We'll
try.
Thanks for coming by. Mike Crane's not leaving, though. He'll be with us right till 12:30. Stay with us. We'll be back right after the news. Thanks so much for listening in today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, hosting the monthly Mondays with Mike update for Wisconsin Public Radio. It's always great to have Mike Crane come by to our shows, and this is the first time he's been with this show for the Mondays with Mike, and so it's great to have him here. So what would you like to know about the operations and programming on WPR? You have a comment about a show or an event? Love to hear from you. You can become part of the conversation. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. And before we take some other calls, we've lost a longtime host and great friend and reporter, Glenn Moberg.
Let's talk about Glenn just a little bit. One of the things that I really loved about our colleague is that he was always kind of out in front of things. And in the case of his really difficult challenge, Glenn finally succumbed to stomach cancer just a week or two ago. And What he did in the time from the diagnosis until that very last is he lived life to the fullest. Those of us that were Facebook friends would see him at the beach. But then he would also be honest about the challenges that he had in terms of his health while he was there. And in a way, it was like listening to one of his wonderful features because he drew out the things that helped you understand the story.
Yeah, he was a great guy, and we'll definitely miss him. Dan in Franksville has a question for you, Mike. So let's go to Dan. Hi.
Hey, Dan.
Howdy. I'm going back now into the era of like Margaret Andreasen and stuff like that, where they had guests, usually on political shows, where they'd have two opposing guests. So you could get some hard questions and stuff like that, because for a host to know exactly what's going on in every part of the world, I would think that'd be almost impossible to ask hard questions or have a lot of knowledge on different countries and stuff like that. But it's hard for the host, I know that. But it seems like if you just have the host on one side, then you sort of got one person ranting about one thing, and there's no real hard questions to ask because it's hard to know all the stuff. But then you'd have another opposing view later. And to me, it just seems like you don't get much information out of that compared to the old days.
Yeah, I know what you mean, Dan. And one of the things that we've discovered has changed, and I think this is because of we're long into the era of 24/7 cable news and just a lot more media generally, is that a few things are happening. One is that we find fewer guests will agree to do that, where they'll come on with someone who opposes them. And when they're on, they're less inclined to ask a question of the other or to challenge them. They tend to go to their talking points. And so we're just not finding that that's as effective a conversation as we'd like. Another challenge, and this is sort of an underlying thing about how come we've changed things in the morning and afternoon shows a bit, is that fewer guests will agree to come on for a full hour like they used to, because they're managing many more things and maybe aren't quite as willing to be exposed to that many opportunities to answer a question that they feel might get them in trouble. So it's a real challenge. One of the things that we try to do, actually, and it relates to your other comment, is to make sure our hosts are really well prepared so that when they notice, which they might not always, you're right, but when they notice something that seems a little off, they'll ask the question again or ask it a different way to try to draw out an answer. And a lot of people are very well coached by their handlers, so to speak, and they're really good at not answering the questions if they don't want to. So it's a real challenge for us in drawing out what is really important and what is the truth.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate that. You can join in, too, at 800-642-1234. Give us a call with your question for our guest, Mike Crane. Email us at ideas@wpr.org as well. Jeff emailed that he's been a listener and supporter since 1989, so he's been with us a long time. And in the last 5 years, he's noticed, along with some friends and family, a considerable amount of dead air and other technical problems. Sometimes it changes voices to what sounds like a robot voice. And this can last for some minutes or sometimes hours.
Yeah, it doesn't say in our note here where Jeff is calling from, although I'll have a guess that it might be in our Green Bay area broadly, because we've had a problem with a few things like that. Like the robot voice can be basically a digital error that causes different effects. One of them that we had a little while ago was that just as if you'd heard someone talk and then you heard them talk again about a half second later, and that lasted for a while. Those things happen. I would say over those 5 years, one of the things that has happened is that our technical plant has gotten more aged. And we're asking more of it. In fact, we have a system, we call it the Audio Vault, that's its brand name, that plays the announcements you hear and plays recorded programs and so on. And one of the things our engineers have told us is we're now asking of it more than it was ever designed to do. So we are in the midst of a significant redesign and rebuild of our facilities that in the end should really deal with a lot of those things more effectively. And that's why, for instance, you had a couple of days, Larry, where you or a colleague had to be across the street at the WSUM studios for a little while because we've emptied our main studios. Larry and I are actually sitting in historic Buck Studio, as I like to say, not the normal studio for the Ideas Network, but one that functions pretty well for us until we can get back into our refreshed studios just down the hall.
I'm looking at our very large studio, and there's a lot of stuff.
No. Boxes and boxes of gear and old pledge premiums and all kinds of things.
Oh, man. Well, let's take a call. Laura Lee in Mesa, Arizona. It's your turn. Hi, Laura Lee.
Hi. How are you guys this morning?
Great. How are things in Mesa?
Getting really warm already this morning. It's only 10:15 here.
But it's a dry heat, right?
Yeah, right. We had a lot of humidity this summer. It's been a little miserable, especially when it's 114.
Mm-hmm. So what's your question or comment?
My comment is the 3 or 4 hour replay, Central Time, gets to be a little bit on the long side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was thinking, that's kind of like a coming off of work time for a lot of people, and maybe they'd enjoy something on the lighter side. A little old time radio drama, for instance.
All right. Well, Laura Lee, thank you for calling. So,
what some people recognize when they listen, and it sounds like, Laura Lee, you listen to our stream a lot, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
We do repeat the 2 hour show of Central Time. This is like Morning Edition and All Things Considered on the other network. Those are repeated 2 hour programs. So, for instance, Morning Edition is on WPR from 5 until 9. But it's mostly a repeat coming from NPR, and then some things get refreshed as the news changes, that sort of thing. And the same with what we're doing. The newscasts are live. We have maybe news reports that are rewritten or something, but they're often fairly similar. And that's done because production of every show is very expensive in people and time and so on. I will say, and we've talked about this in other segments of Mondays with Mike, that initially the Central Time folks 6 years ago wanted to do 3 hours, and given all of the stuff they had to do, they found that really impossible. So at first they tried 2.5, and even that was really difficult. And so that's how they settled on 2. It reminds me of the comments we heard earlier from Josh about some other possibilities, and we do talk about those things. At the moment, we haven't concluded any change, but I really appreciate the comment.
Thank you very much for calling. Nice to hear from Arizona. I think the furthest, I was trying to remember the furthest call, we had New Zealand. I had someone call.
That's pretty far.
Yeah, and Germany. So, people listen in lots of different places. Wayne in Marshfield, it's your turn. Hi, Wayne.
Yeah, good afternoon. We've become chapter a day junkies and look forward to it each time. And I don't know who picks the books, but I would like to encourage picking Wisconsin authors, maybe a little more. I know Jerry Epps is going to be starting today, but the Loon Lake Mystery Series and Kathleen Ernst has an excellent series and so on. And then I have another suggestion, Mike.
Sure.
If Larry ever retires, he needs to give a 5-year notice.
Got that, Larry?
Yeah.
Larry, along the lines of likability of host, I think you just scored. So that's wonderful. Wayne, thank you so much for the comment. We do definitely try to look for Wisconsin authors as a primary thought for Chapter a Day. One of the challenges with almost all authors is that the rights for their works are often hard to get. That a lot of authors will sell both the audio rights and the paper rights at the same time to a publisher. And so that's how they end up as audiobooks, that sort of thing. But we are lucky enough to have some authors have those rights available, and also to have great partners such as the Wisconsin Historical Society Press and those sort of partners that can lead us to some of those books. And absolutely, we agree. We want to try to do that as much as possible, because there's a lot of great writing that just happens right here at home. That's why you also hear some of those authors on our Wisconsin Life segments.
Yeah, and I tend to really... If I'm going to have an author on, I tend to lean to Wisconsin authors. We highlight a lot of Wisconsin authors on this show for interviews and stuff. Kathleen Ernst was on just last week, I think.
Yeah.
So it's fun. Wayne, thank you very much. Nick in Camp Douglas.
Thanks. Hello, sir. How are you doing today?
Great. Thanks for calling. What can we do for you today?
I just want to tell you how much I love NPR. I've been listening for a long time. I'm also a contributor. Once a month.
Thanks.
It's just great. I like listening to your show. I like listening to the late night stories that you have on Saturday and Sundays, the old time radio. Yeah, that's great. NPR is just a great show to listen to.
Thank you very much.
There we go. Likeability again, Larry.
Likeability.
But we know that about Larry, and it doesn't hurt to be on the radio for more than 50 years, does it?
Dave emailed to respond to an earlier comment about hosts. He says he's a relatively new listener, but values Kate's morning reporting and questions and answer discussions very much. He almost never feels like she's lacking in the research. And on another note, he says radio drama teleplays would be amazing.
Yeah, you know, one of our, I'm so glad that you like Kate. She is in background a reporter, so she does have those skills. And she also has, as Keely was mentioning earlier on the show, just a great team surrounding her so that there's a lot of research that does not get missed because of that wonderful team.
And we'll take some more calls. But before we do that, there are a lot of listener events that I've always enjoyed listener events myself. I bet you do, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
What have we got coming up?
Well, we've got a couple of things to make mention of. One is that our WPR Politics podcast crew is moving around the state, and they are going to be doing a live podcast recording and conversation on September 12th, so that's later this week. They're going to be at the Harborview Event Center in Washburn. Later, they'll be in Waukesha and Eau Claire. So if you want to find out about any of those, you can go to WPR.org/presents. And then this is something new we're doing, Larry. We have a podcast listening party for a podcast we haven't released yet. So it's like a preview of a podcast. And I'm really excited by this. You know, some dreamed of a modern rail system for Wisconsin, but others called the idea of high-speed rail and all of that a boondoggle. Well, our new series is called Derailed, and we have a sneak preview of what the true story of high-speed rail has been in Wisconsin. That'll be Thursday, October 3rd at 7:30 at the Art Space Music Venue and Bar called Art Inn in Madison. And so that will feature our bureau chief at the Capitol, Sean Johnson, and special projects reporter Bridget Bowden, who are going to talk about a 10-month-long investigation they did to tell the true story of whatever happened with high-speed rail in Wisconsin.
Very interesting. And it's October, what's the date again?
That's October 3rd.
October 3rd.
And then a number of people have mentioned old-time radio drama. We have a live one. I think this is the last in our series for the year, Friday, October 11th in Oshkosh. And it's a kind of a modern take on an old-fashioned radio play. There's Always a Woman is what it's called. definitely an update and good modern twists on that from taken from a 1939 Campbell's Playhouse radio show and then modernized by our team. Mm-hmm. And that's October 11th again, WPR.org/presents.
Those have all been very well received. Why do we do these events, by the way? Is it?
Well, you know, radio is a lot of fun just to hear, but it's also fun to make radio and make podcasts with people. And building our connections in the community is partly about literally being there, just not over the airwaves, but physically showing up. And so we really do enjoy it, and it makes our relationship with listeners and our understanding of them even better.
Yeah, for sure. Mary in Madison. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi. I wanted to tell you how much I miss the On Your Money show. I used to listen to that every single week. I would set my clock to make sure I was up and had everything else done so I could listen to that show. And you have not found anything to replace it with. It had a great following weekly. I would love to see another weekly money show like that where people can ask financial questions or questions about how the financial system in our country is working right now. I would love that, and I don't know why you haven't replaced it.
Oh, thank you, Marion, for the thought. You're not the first to have told us that you miss On Your Money. We certainly are doing money shows, especially like we have some here during Larry's show, and we do have different features during our other shows. But finding an exciting new host is really challenging. And so I would say normally it tends to be kind of an organic process where over time you end up discovering, hey, this person's great on the radio and they'd like to be on more and they're free to and so on. So I wouldn't lose hope that we'll find something like that. But you're right. We have not found a direct replacement for the show at this time.
But still, it's a process. The whole thing. It's a process.
Marion. And money, it touches everything, right?
Right.
So that's why we continue to be very interested in the topic.
Lisa in Madison, your turn. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, I have two comments. I think your producer is a good backup host. She does a really good job.
Good.
And I'd like to have a guest on with a DOT someday, just for questions I sometimes have in my head as I'm driving.
You know, that's, and we have had just, I'm trying to remember, Jill could probably remember exactly when we had the head of the DOT on, but that show, that particular show, there were a lot of calls and good questions.
Yeah, there are, because we all drive so much, or in some places maybe bicycle, which is another thing they can talk about.
Yeah.
Then it's something that's on our minds. And we do try to, as we used to say all the time on the Ideas Network, to talk about issues that matter to you. That's certainly something that matters. Thanks for the comment, Lisa.
Our fall membership drive is coming up at the end of the month, so remind us why those are so important.
And well, as we have the tendency to say during the pledge drive, listener support is the largest portion of WPR's funding. In a typical year, it's about 40% of our funding. And while there are other methods, and we use them, you know, sending mail and having the ability to pledge online and so on, pledge drives are still the way that we secure memberships for WPR. So our member drive is coming up in a little more than a week, starting Friday, September 20th, and we'll go for just about a week. And there'll be a tote bag, a nice new tote bag, and a really nice travel mug that I think people would like. And we'll be asking for people to give monthly gifts to get those, or one-time gifts are just fine as well. And they have geometric patterns inspired by the WPR logo, so they're fun. And we'll show them online at WPR.org as well.
Chris in Waukesha, hello.
Hi, great show as usual, Larry, and I'm a dedicated Garden Talk listener.
Thank you.
I wanted to say that in our current political polarization environment, I am disappointed to report that the Democratic or liberal-leaning bias on WPR is almost palpable. And I request more balance. The most frequent example of that is that the morning show had a talk about college finances and college debt recently. And I listened to the whole hour, and not once was a market-driven private sector solution proposed, and not once was the idea that debt in itself is bad brought up. All of the solutions involved more government and more debt.
Oh,
yeah, very interesting. And Chris, thanks. And if you were listening earlier, you heard Keely, who is soon to not be the executive producer on that show because she's moving to her hosting duties. But she did mention that we definitely want that feedback. And I'd say if none of that was included, it's a good reminder to our program hosts and to our producers to make sure that they do really think about what are other possible views on this topic. And it sounds like we maybe missed a little bit there. And thanks for the admonition, and I'm glad that you called.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. Appreciate your call. Mike wrote that down, by the way, Chris.
Yes.
He was making a note when you were as you were talking, as he always does, I think, on Mondays with Mike.
Absolutely. You know, deep, deep inside of our work at WPR, we think that the solutions to our community's problems might lie anywhere in the political spectrum. And so we definitely try to get there in terms of talking about it.
Mike Crane, he rotates around now with his shows, and so we'll get Mondays with Mike back.
Sometime
soon. Mike Crane, our director of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thank you so much for listening today, and please stay with us. Lots more in store here right through the afternoon on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.